Sorry about that, guys. Adam, turn me down just a little bit, please. All right, guys, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you and praise you for this gathering. We thank you and praise you even for challenges, Father God, because it draws us closer to you. Lord, I lift this message to you, Father God, and just pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice through it, Father God. Pray that you would give me the strength to get through this message. Pray that you would edify the guys. And just pray your will be done. We love you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Open up your Biblies. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. Title of today's message is Faith and Forgiveness. You can't have one without the other. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. How many of us have read The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan? If you haven't, I recommend it. It's an excellent read. How many of us can see ourselves as the main character, Christian? I have a confession to make. I have two confessions to make. This is going to be a hard message. That's confession one. Confession two is I have a heavy burden that I'm carrying, and I've been carrying. And it has weighed me down and slowed me down on my journey in life. Some of you may know bits and pieces of it. Psalm 38, verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I have had a very hard heart of unforgiveness towards someone I should be very close with. And no, it's not my wife. Or any of you. And I have harbored this unforgiveness because I haven't wanted to let it go. See, it's been a choice. And I have made the wrong choice. I've grown comfortable in this state of unforgiveness towards this person because it's all I've known regarding them for all of my life. So I've gotten used to carrying this burden, just like Christian did as he's going along his path. He's carrying a very, very heavy burden. It hasn't been any less heavy as I go, but much like when you go to the gym and you lift weights consistently, you learn the more you lift, the easier it gets. This has been the case with this burden I've been carrying. It's not any lighter, but it's easier because I'm used to carrying it. This other person made my life miserable for a very, very long time. And I formed a hatred for them at a very early age. Yes, I manifested it throughout the rest of my life. And yes, I have harbored resentment in my heart. I have been very hard-hearted toward this individual. But I thank God that since learning of this burden I have been carrying, my beautiful bride, thank God for wise women, has been praying Ezekiel 36, 26 over me. Ezekiel 36, 26 reads, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And brothers, let me just quickly say this about that. When a loved one begins to pray and duck, as Dawn and I like to call it, you and I don't stand a chance of not being transformed. Just putting it out there. If you have a problem, you have a burden, you have an issue, and somebody else starts praying and ducking, what they're doing is they're getting out of God's way and putting you in direct line of fire with the God of heaven. Now, this next statement may sound a bit strange, but it is nonetheless still true. I cannot blame the other person entirely. As much as I would like to, I can't. After all, it has been said, and it is true, it takes two to tangle. You can't have a fight by yourself. So therein lies the crux of my problem. Let me repeat myself and see if you catch it this time, if you missed it the first time. I formed a hatred for them. I manifested it. I harbored the resentment in my heart. Are you hearing a theme? A beloved pastor once said, "Me, myself, and I, the satanic trinity." Me, myself, and I, one-third of that trinity. The formation, manifestation, and harboring has been my doing. I allowed the hatred into my heart. I then manifested it, nurtured it, and harbored it. I gave it a home. I'm responsible for that, not the other person. Now, does the other person who hurt me so deeply bear some responsibility in this? Of course they do. Sorry about that. Of course they do. There is no denying that, and I am not absolving them of their part in this. I honestly believe that they are oblivious to the pain they've caused, to the nasty scars left behind, or the constant affliction of carrying this burden I struggle under. That's why we heard the songs that we heard before I opened up. Why do I believe that they're oblivious? Because I've had a conversation with them. And in their opinion, in their mind, in their eyes, they did nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, in their own words, they did the best they could. So as easy as it may be to point the finger in their direction, I must realize it's not all on them. And I must own my own demons. Do me a favor. Point your finger at me. I often tell people, keep your hands up there for a second. I often tell people, when we point one finger at someone else, there's three pointed back at you. Think of this illustration as the Holy Trinity identifying an issue within our life, an issue perhaps we don't want to face. Matthew 7:3, "And why beholdest thou the mote or the speck in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam or the plank that is in thy own eye. Again, as much as I want to point my finger at them, I've got three of them pointing back at me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are trying to bring to light something that I have to deal with. How many times do we say something in someone else that is just horrible to us? We would never think to do something like that or be that way. And yet we fail to realize we are just as guilty, if not more so, of something similar, or maybe the same thing. Scripture teaches that if we don't sincerely forgive others their sin, God will not forgive us ours. Now don't miss this. Matthew 18:35 says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Does that mean we lose our salvation? Absolutely not. That is not what it's saying. It simply means we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to or be loyal to the one and despise the other." We cannot hate the one, yet truly love the other. In other words, I cannot hate this individual and truly love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I cannot truly love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and hate this other person. It's just not possible. Now, we can lie to ourselves and make ourselves believe that we can. But take it from an expert, me. You can't. So if you're believing the lie, again, take it from me. It doesn't end well for you. Just putting it out there. That's a freebie. Scripture teaches us that if we say we love God and hate our brother, we are a liar. 1 John 4:20. "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" So I stand here today before you guys, my great cloud of witnesses this morning, to confess and ashamedly proclaim, I am a liar. Please don't cast stones at me. And because I am a liar, I have crucified Christ again. I say he is my Lord and Savior, yet I kick him off the throne of my life and instill my attitude of unforgiveness on that throne instead. My walk with Christ has been stifled and thwarted due to my flesh, my pride, and my sin nature. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus beckons each of us, me included, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Are any of you weary and heavy laden? Are any of you carrying a burden that is weighing you down? Do you want to be rid of it? Are you certain? Are you sure you want to be rid of it? That's not a trick question. You see, I have to ask that question because for the longest time, I was convinced I did not want to lay it down or be rid of it. I wanted to keep it. I wanted to hang on to it. I wanted to carry it. Keep in mind, as I said, I was comfortable with it. I got used to it. In my twisted train of thought, I justified it to myself. I'm fine, and it's okay. I still oftentimes, my wife will ask me, what's wrong or what's up? And I'll just say, it's fine. I'm justifying it. I'm not sharing my heart. I'm not being open. I'm not being honest. I'm not being transparent. It's fine. I'm fine. But it's not. And I'm not. And I'm a liar. The longer I focused on this burden, the more I was convinced two things were going to take place. Number one, the burden would become easier to bear. It didn't. Number two, the other person would be empathetic for the burden I was carrying because they would realize they were the cause and want to seek forgiveness. They have not. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Brothers, that is a divine promise. It's not a suggestion. It is a promise. But therein lies the rub. Do we truly trust Jesus Christ to keep his word? I will stand here before you and confess I have not. Mostly because of my upbringing, I'm sure. Do we truly have the faith to believe that he will keep his word, or do we expect to be let down, hurt, and disappointed yet again? See, we are taught to trust Jesus. We are taught to trust other people who are important in our lives. But when that trust is broken, it's easy to make that association, is it not? If we do not honestly, from our heart, trust Jesus and believe him, even if we do come to him bearing our burdens, we won't let go of them, and we won't allow the healing to take place. That's part of the burden. Why? Because we're too afraid he won't actually do as he says he will. We won't trust him to be whom he says he is. And therefore, we put God in a box. Something I find very interesting, there is a pastor who's also a comedian, and he has done a routine. He compares men's brains and women's brains. Women's brains, there's 10 million things going on all at once in there. Men's brains, it's one thing at a time, one box at a time. Open the box, take it out, analyze it, do whatever. Put it back in, close that box. Never touches another box. Open another box, one at a time. That's us. Okay, maybe it's just me. So we will put God in a box. We will stifle the Holy Spirit, and we will crucify Christ yet again. And know this, guys. He will not take from us what we are not willing to let go of. So if our letting go has conditions, if there are strings attached, we cannot receive the blessing He wants to bestow upon us. Because we have not genuinely let go and let God. Now, I do not want to continue in this state of miserable bliss. I want to grow in my walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And like Christian, I must step outside my comfort zone. I must bring myself to trust Jesus to get me through to that goal. But how do I go about doing that? How do we go about doing that? Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In order for us to grow in our walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, we must take up our cross and follow him. We also must deny ourselves. We must forsake all those who would hold us back, including family members, and more importantly, ourselves. And we must have faith to believe. Jesus must be first and foremost above all else and all others, or we cannot truly be his disciple. As I was putting this message together, again, you were saying how you would hope this would edify us or how it would convict me. It convicted me real hard several times because I truly do want to be his disciple. And it's not easy. I confess I desire to be in such a spiritual condition that I may share God's blessings as they come with all who I know, no matter what the cost is. So how do I get there? Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How much will be impossible? Nothing. Faith. Nothing more, nothing less. And no more faith than the size of a tiny mustard seed is necessary. I just happen to have one back there in the sandbox. I did a teaching on this once before, and I handed every single guy who was here for that a glass vial with a mustard seed in it. It's a visual, and honestly, I don't like props. I honestly don't. I know of a pastor who, when he taught, that's all he did was props, and it drove me crazy. But in this particular case, this drove the point home. We think we have to do all this great or have all this big or all this huge, but we don't. It can be as small as a seed of mustard. That seed is so small, it's easily overlooked or missed. I could drop one on the floor right here and not a single one of us would realize it's there. And yet it is all that and then some. As small as that is, it's huge. As I was thinking on this illustration, I was reminded of a childhood fairy tale called The Princess and the Pea. Does anybody else remember that? Or am I just aging myself up here? The Princess and the Pea, written by Hans Christian Andersen, about a prince searching for a real princess. He tested a young woman claiming to be a princess by placing a pea under 20 mattresses on the premise that only a true princess could feel the pea, proving her royal status. The parallel here is this. The Holy Spirit plants the seed, or the pea, in our heart. Under all the everything else, or mattresses, and junk we carry, to see if we will feel the prompting and acknowledge it. He puts it there. Do we see it? Do we feel it? Do we acknowledge it? We can see it. We can feel it, but are we going to acknowledge it? And if we do and we confess it, he will forgive us of our sin. Just why does God forgive sin anyway? Straightforward question, and I have a straightforward answer. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for some of us. Oh, all of us. Every single one of us. God forgives sin because he knows that sin is the dark shadow standing between him and his highest creation, us. Mankind, you and me. God is more willing to remove that shadow than we are to have it removed. He wants to forgive us. He desires a true relationship with each one of us, one-on-one. That desire is his character. It is who he is, pure love, and exact justice. If we will allow him, Christ will do in us and through us that which he did in and through the committed believers right after Pentecost. He provided a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and the strength to forgive. The most important thing about you and Jesus is that you can reach him from where you are. And in whatever state you're in, it doesn't matter. You don't need to clean up, clear up, start up, stand up, for him to pay you attention. You don't have to yell, scream, or shout louder for him to hear you more clearly. You don't have to strive to be seen or heard or loved. He already loves you, and he hears you. He hears your every cry and your every prayer. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. I'm almost done, guys. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6. Let me read this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look up here. When you guys read that, I want you to personalize that. Substitute our and we with your name. Surely he hath borne Douglander's griefs and carried Douglander's sorrows. Yet Douglander's did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for Douglander's transgressions. He was bruised for Douglander's iniquities. The chastisement of Douglander's peace was upon him, and with his stripes, Douglander's is healed. Douglander's, like sheep, has gone astray. Douglander's has turned to his own way, and the Lord God hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of Douglander's. I don't have to carry the burden anymore. This is identifying us with our sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, as he hung and died on the cross at Calvary, bearing all our sin, past, present, and future. His pure shed blood has covered it all, not in part, in total. God no longer looks upon us and sees the blackness of sin. Instead, he sees Christ's righteousness. When he looks at each one of us who are saved and born again, he doesn't see sin. He sees his Son's righteousness. We are redeemed and we are set free. We are no longer prisoners. We are princes and priests. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. We have been released from the prison we placed ourselves through our hard hearts. When I harbored all this anger, this resentment, the other person wasn't the prisoner. I was. I put myself there. And I kept myself there. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. In light of all of this that I've shared so far, I pray that you will heed the Apostle Paul's appeal to each of us. In Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We each have an eternal soul. We have influences that have and will shape us. God gives the potter the clay and says, now shape us. God gives to the builder the materials and says, now make a worthy temple. Carrie Vaughn, CEO and president of Love Worth Finding Ministries, wrote this, quote, while it is true that no matter who you are, you will face trouble, whose you are makes a tremendous difference in how you walk through it. In Christ, we have everything we need to overcome the troubles and trials. End quote. Someday, God will ask you what you did with and about the forces and influences that came into your life. Did you harbor unforgiveness in your heart? Or did you humble yourself and forgive those who wronged you? I trust that in that great day of reckoning, you will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to confess with shame that you allowed unworthy things and thoughts to shape your life. Brothers, now is the time to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now is the time. Today I stand before you after all this to simply say, thank you for being my brothers in the Lord. Thank you for tolerating me, for loving me, and accepting me. Despite all my flaws, my failings, my bumps, my bruises, my nicks, my cuts, my scrapes, and my scars. And thanks be to God, I am who I am through His grace, His love, and His mercy. Without Him, I would be nothing. Christian made it to his final destination. I'm still walking along the path towards mine. But I can say the burden I'm carrying is much lighter as I have learned how to forgive from the heart. Part of that journey was drafting a letter to this individual. That was hard enough. And then I fought with the Lord. What do I do with it now? This is Saturday. They should have that letter by now. And in that letter, I forgave them. It's one of the most difficult things I have ever had to do in my life. And you can ask my bride, this past couple of months, it's been really, really, really rough. Not just with that, but other things. It just seemed like it was one thing after another. I joked with my brother Ed. They keep knocking me down just to hit me to stand me back up so they can hit me down again. That's what the enemy's been doing with me last couple of months. But my bride has been praying Ezekiel 36:26 over me. God heard. Rest assured, brothers, God has been using every one of you to bring me to this point in my journey of faith and forgiveness. Because we can't have one without the other. As Corrie Ten Boom once said, you never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. I haven't reached the end of my journey yet, but I'm well on the way. And I pray that if any of this touched your heart, you would spend some serious time with the Lord to work through this in your case. Lord, man, what a rough lesson this has been. But what a needful lesson this has been, Father. We do need forgiveness, Father. We do need to share your love with those around us and show your love with those around us, Father. We can't just verbalize it. We have to be the hands and feet, Lord. So that when we do reach that finish line, Father God, when we do come to the end of that journey, we can sing hallelujah. You are great, Lord, and we praise you for that. You love us and you carry us, and we praise you for that as well. And Lord, I just pray that this message will go out and touch hearts, change minds, and alter lives. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.